Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Good evening, folks, and thanks again for stopping by. I know it's the heart of the summer. Only a few more weeks until school is back in session. Only a few more weeks to take advantage of the warm weather and bright sunshine. So given the time of year, I bet a lot of you are listening from the road, on your way to your favorite summer destination. And I'd also be willing to bet a good number of you will be visiting hotels, motels, inns, hostels, and even bed and breakfasts over the next couple of weeks. And as you're about to learn here tonight, sometimes visiting those places gives you your best chance at experiencing the paranormal. So hit up that mini bar, slip on that scratchy robe, and let's get into the action. Beginning tonight in a hotel, a haunted hotel, in the state of North Carolina. Please welcome Greg to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek. This is Greg in East Tennessee. I thought I was all out of stories, but listening to your North Carolina show jogged another one out of my memory there. Your story in North Carolina was about the Biltmore Mansion, and this is kind of tangential to that. They imported a lot of workers from Italy, I think, to come and work stone on the Biltmore Mansion, and a lot of them stayed and built other structures around Asheville that are wonderful to see. The most magnificent, I think, is the Grove Park Inn up on top of a mountain. Just a beautiful place, way out of my price range. But I was hired probably 20 years ago as a part of a film crew to interview a local celebrity, and they put us up in the Grove Park Inn for 3 nights. Really cool to be able to stay there. So our first night, we just packed in the first day, didn't really do much in the way of work, and met up for breakfast in the morning. And we were talking, and one of the girls walked in, our teleprompter girl, white as a sheet. Doesn't look like she slept, hair all messed up and stuff, and everybody's like, what in the world happened to you? She told the story of, she was staying in the old part of the hotel. They have added on, but there's an old main part. And she woke up at 3 a.m. with all four of her windows totally open and a huge wind sucking the curtains out into the night. Just freaked her out. She called security, and they came and got her and put her in another room. These windows are old-style iron rim, probably 4 feet tall by 2 or 3 feet, and double-paned. So there's two sets of windows on either side, and they were the old type of windows where you had to crank a crank to open them up. But they were all four wide open, middle of the night, door still locked. She was telling us a story, and one of the servers who was helping with breakfast overheard us and said, oh, you probably stayed in the Pink Lady room. What room were you in? She named her room, and it was what they referred to as the Pink Lady room, which we learned is a famous ghost for them. Lots of people have had encounters, apparitions and things. Anyhow, it was maybe worth looking into. It's a great story. It's a great place. Grove Park Inn, the Pink Lady. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for what you do and providing a platform for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate the entry. Now, as you're about to learn here tonight, many of the hotels, motels, and holiday inns featured in this evening's episode are well-known, famous, or even infamous for their hauntings, just like the Grove Park Inn. And if you ask when you check in, a lot of times they'll give you the most haunted room in the building, if it's available. And sometimes, like the woman in Greg's story, you get that room on accident. An amazing way to kick things off here tonight, Greg. Thank you again for calling in. Now up next, we venture to parts unknown. Please welcome Anonymous to the program.
Hey, Derek. I'm going to remain anonymous, but I just want to tell you a story that occurred to me when I visited New York City, New York. So I'm from Georgia. So my family decided to go on a spring break vacation since I am a teacher. And when we were in New York, we stayed at this hotel. Well, I was hungry and I decided to go out and about to get something to eat. And I left my sister and her kid in the room. And she told me that when I left, she heard someone yelling. And she said that it sounded like me. Well, I had forgotten something. So I went upstairs and she was just like, you know, saying, "Did you scream? Was it you that needed help?" And I said, "No, you know, I just forgot my wallet." So she says, "Well, we heard you scream and we came out just to see if you were okay." And I was like, "No, you know, nothing happened." So, yeah, that's my story that I wanted to tell. Okay, bye.
Thanks, caller. Now, like I said, nowhere is safe from this phenomenon. You never know which hotel might be harboring strange activity. Super spooky stuff, caller. And we thank you again for taking the time to share. Now, folks, I need to run down to the ice machine real quick. But when I come back, more scary stories from your favorite roadside stops. I'll be right back.
Real kinship, vital companionship and fellowship with safe
travel. The summer is already starting to wind down, and if you're thinking about refreshing your closet before spooky season starts, a great place to go is Quince. Quince is all about fewer, better pieces. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last and designed to become the ones you reach for day after day. They specialize in everyday staples that work harder, like their ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium cashmere sweaters. They're versatile, timeless, and they help you transition from a casual workday to a dinner out. The best part is everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. Quince also goes way beyond clothing. They've become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel and everyday essentials. One of my current Quince favorites are the Performance Tech shorts. They're comfortable, they're great for trail walks or just working around the house, but they look good enough to wear out and about, running errands or a casual lunch. They're light and breathable. Plus, the fabric is wrinkle-resistant, so I always look put together, even in athletic shorts. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/MAU for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's Quince.com/MAU. for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/MAU. There's also a link in the show notes.
Their experience setting up for the next mission.
Just invested as well.
Well now, this next one takes us to Texas. Please welcome Stephanie to tonight's program.
Hi, my name is Stephanie and I'm calling from Karnes City, Texas. And I want to tell you an experience that happened to me this past weekend at the Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas. So this happened September 20th, 2025. My husband and I stayed at the Magnolia Hotel, which is rich with Texas history. I highly recommend checking it out online. So the current owners renovated a small part of the hotel to where you can rent it for an Airbnb. And the majority of the hotel is not retouched, and it holds much of the original furniture. And so Friday night, my husband and I, we check in after dinner. We go check the place out. And also the non-renovated side, it is totally like, there's no electricity, no water, no nothing. So it's hot. It's, you know, it's already uncomfortable. Well, we check it out with this ghost hunting kit that we rented from the owner. And we were like so disappointed. Nothing went off. It was just creepy looking, but very, very interesting. So, you know, we go to bed early, in about 10:30. And I'm kind of like, I'm feeling kind of uncomfortable. And I'm just tossing and turning. And I'm checking my phone, which is right next to me. And the last time I looked, it was like 12:15 in the morning. And all of a sudden, I hear a man cough, like a... And I'm like, okay, I think I'm just hearing things. And then I hear like a woman talking, but I couldn't really understand what she was saying. And then I hear a thot, 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 three loud knocks. Keep in mind, there's nobody else in this hotel. There's nothing. There's no traffic, nothing. And I freak out and I tap my husband next to me who's sound asleep. And I'm like, babe, wake up. Are you hearing this? And then you just hear just talking and you hear a man and it sounds like he's saying, hey, from like far away, but like not really. And it was so bizarre. And this went on past 1 a.m. I mean, you just heard just the floor creaking, like as if somebody was literally walking. You heard knocks. And then we heard whistling, like short. And it was just, we were so uneasy. And we don't get spooked very easy, but we were just freaking out. And my dad, he lives in the same town. And we're like, oh my God, I think we need to go to my dad's for the rest of the night. But we toughed it out. Well, come around like 3 a.m., we're just tossing and turning. My husband, he goes, babe, I swear to f-ing God, somebody just touched my toe and squeezed it. And he was so scared. And I'm like, oh my God. So I sat up and I'm like, hey, y'all need to respect our boundaries. No touching. We need to go to sleep. And then after that, the activity stopped. Yeah, we went to sleep nice and sound after that. But I highly recommend if you're in Texas or you need a cool spot to go check out the Magnolia Hotel. It is so amazing. I am a skeptic 100%. I always believe there's an explanation for everything. This night was so bizarre. I have no explanation for it. But anyway, I am such a big fan of the show. And I thank you, Derek, and the rest of the crew for everything y'all do. Bye.
Hey, Derek, this is Stephanie. I had called back in September of 2025, and I had stayed there with my husband at the Haunted Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas. So this past weekend, we decided to take my kids. I have two teenagers. They're really into paranormal stuff. So we went. Me and my son, we stayed up pretty late into the night, and we used a Spirit Box app. We went into the so-called haunted side of the hotel. And there's this room where it's a pink bathtub room, and there is a story of a young lady who committed suicide in this pink bathroom bathtub. Well, while using the spirit box, we were asking, you know, who killed you? How did you die? And the word drowned kept coming up. Drowned, drowned, drowned. And me and my son were like, oh my God, like that really shook us up. So we were like, yeah, let's get out of here. So something strange that also happened that night when I went to bed, I wasn't scared or nothing. I've already been there before. I would fall asleep and then I would wake up with, a huge amount of pressure on my chest and on my throat where I would wake up. I don't have asthma. I don't have any other health conditions. I am 40 years old. This has never happened to me before. I would wake up like as if I was being choked. And this happened 3 times. And I was staying in a room where there was a murder. I believe it was called the salesman room. And so I'd go back to sleep and the same thing. I mean, like as if I was just gasping for air. My heart rate was just going over 100 beats per hour. I mean, I was just out of it. The third time I fell asleep and I woke up like that, I just stayed up. I said, nope. I was annoyed and just so mad. But yeah, again, check out the Haunted Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas. It is beautiful. There's so much rich Texas history there. All right. Thank you so much. Love, love, love the podcast. Happy to be a Patreon member. Thanks, guys. Keep it spooky.
Another satisfied Patreon member. Thanks for joining us in the beyond. And we appreciate the call and the update, Stephanie. Now, I second Stephanie's suggestion here, but I extend it a bit. Go visit your own haunted hotel near you. Just stay for a night. Ask for the haunted room. Go out to dinner. Roll the dice. See what happens. Am I right, Stephanie? A fun tale and a fun thing to do with your kids, Stephanie. So thanks again for sharing that experience here with us. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share, just give us a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story in the form of a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Now, I look forward to hearing from Melanie as well. She happens to be tonight's next contributor.
Hey, Derek. My name is Melanie, and I live in Birmingham, Alabama. And last weekend, I went back to my hometown, Decatur, Alabama. It's a small town, and I did not book my hotel room. So I didn't know what hotel I was going to until I got there. And I walk in, and I realize this remodeled hotel is where my grandpa worked as a maintenance man in the late 80s and early 90s. And he passed away about 14 years ago. And he was a complicated guy. I don't know. I haven't tried to make contact with him in the spirit sense. You know, it was complicated, right? I took some time. I got in a quiet spot when I got there and realized that that's where he worked. And I said, okay, Papa, let's do this. Maybe you could visit me while I'm here. Like, you were here. You worked here for years. I'm staying here. I've always kind of wanted a hotel experience. Maybe you're the one. First of all, thank you for being so wonderful to me when I was very young, and you made me feel very special in a time in my life I needed to feel special. I know things got complicated. I love you, and you would really love your great-grandchildren. And kind of, you know, paid my respects to him. And I said, you know, it'd be kind of neat if you could show me you were here while I'm staying this weekend, but I don't want you to scare me. So I don't know what you could do, but I don't know, it'd be kind of cool if you did something. Okay, I also said, you know, I know that sometimes people go in hotel rooms and their interactions with spirit often are like they'll lose something in the room and then it'll come back or it'll be moved somewhere they knew that they didn't leave it. I was like, you know, something like that would be fine because I don't think that would scare me. The next morning, I charged my phone all morning then left for the most of the day, took my phone with me, left my phone charger plugged into the wall next to the windowsill. I know exactly where I left it because I was like, oh, I didn't even get a full charge. I got to charge this puppy right when I get back to my hotel room. I made a mental note. Man, I'm really going to regret not letting my phone charge all the way before I left today. Get back to the hotel room that evening and my phone charger's gone. And when I tell you I looked in every single spot in this hotel room, I did. Nothing unturned. And the furniture all kind of went all the way down to the floor because I'm sure people lose things in hotel rooms all the time. It's under the bed. But this was a kind of room where the furniture went all the way down, you know. But I still looked behind it. I still tried to look at everywhere. I said, okay, well, this is what I asked for. Either I misplaced this thing and I had like a memory lapse, or my phone charger has been taken by housekeeping, or this is a spirit thing. I don't know. Luckily, the hotel had one of those things where you could lay your phone down on it and it would charge your phone by plugging it in. So at least I had a phone. I go to sleep and then wake up the next day and it's time to leave. I had an event in my hometown. I didn't know if I was going to get back to the hotel room before checkout, so I went ahead and packed everything, loaded up the car in case I wasn't going to be able to get back in time to check out, and thought, well, there goes my phone charger. I may not even have a chance to find it again because I don't know if I'm going to come back. So I did end up being able to come back before checkout, and I went up to the room, walked in, and there was my phone charger. It was laying on the floor in plain sight in an area that I literally army crawled across and, you know, got on my belly and looked under for me and looked everywhere. And it was just right there. So I guess I got what I asked for. I was like, well, thanks, Paco. That was pretty cool. Good thing I came back, right? Kind of laughed it off. But then I thought of other possibilities, right? And one of them was, okay, housekeeping took it, and then they returned it. If they were going to take something, there was way more valuable and interesting things they could have taken, because when I go to a hotel room, I leave all of my stuff sitting out, and I'm really irresponsible, and I don't use the safe. Nothing else was ever missing. And there was, like, no one in my life who could have done it. So I haven't really been able to find a rational explanation for it. So I'm just going to take this as I asked for something and I got it, and it helped me feel connected to my papa in a really special way, and kind of a funny way. He would have appreciated the humor of it. Thanks for letting me share my story. Bye.
Thanks, Melanie. And another huge thanks for supporting us over on Patreon. A reminder that $5 a month gives you access to days worth of additional content. We've got to be approaching at least a week's worth of content now. So go check it out at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the Patreon tab. Now, Melanie, you would be the only one that could say if hiding a phone charger is behavior your grandfather would have done when he was living. Thinking back on the type of person he was, is that something he would have partaken in? Maybe it is. It seems like Melanie hinted toward that fact. But one could argue that it's a very inefficient way to send a message. But it is certainly weird, however it went down. So thank you again, Melanie, for calling in and sharing.
And that's being renegotiated again because of the TV show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, gang. Please welcome C. Rob as our next submitter. He's ringing in out of Virginia.
Hey, Derek, this is B-Rob calling you from Virginia. I'm a professor at a community college, and I'm teaching Edgar Allan Poe, and we were telling ghost stories yesterday, and one of my students wanted me to call your number and tell you a story. My story is from 2017. I was teaching in Iowa at the time. My friend retired to Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and we all came down to visit him the summer after he retired. And he put each of us up in a different hotel to kind of treat us. So I was staying at the Casa Marina Hotel, Jacksonville Beach. I think it's reasonably famous, 1925. A lot of celebrities stayed there, Rockefellers, Al Capone, Art Deco, 1925 hotel. You walk in the door and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of kind of spooky, creepy old photos from the 1920s, the 1930s. The desk clerk was really cute, so I kind of flirted with her. And I was like, you know, I've never seen a ghost, but this looks like the kind of place I might see a ghost. And she started telling me stories. There were dozens. The ghost of Fatty Arbuckle likes to trip people on the seventh floor going up from the bar. There was a lady who was a former owner that protects the hotel. There was a waiter who fell to his death. I think maybe he's looking around for his head. I don't remember that one. But the one I remember the most, there was a suicider room. And she didn't know who committed suicide or why. But the suicider, the guy, tried to get in other rooms, like the room across from him, down the hall. I assume to get other people to commit suicide. I don't know. But anyway, the first two nights, you know, I did experience something, but it was kind of sweet. The first night, when I woke up the next morning, there was a little teaching star in my bed, you know, like a teacher would put on a kid's paper. And I went and showed it to my friends at breakfast, and they made fun of me. Ooh, like, see, Rob, you know, you should be on Ghost Adventures or something. But they made fun of me. I got back to the hotel. I got the feeling the ghost wanted the TV on. So I said, thank you for the star. I'll leave the TV on. I put the star after the first night on a coffee table in the other room. I go to sleep. The second night, the little star is in my bed again. I go to breakfast. I show it to my friends. They make fun of me. So they were the kind of nice parts of my story. The third night, we went out on the town, had a few vivations. I went to graduate school at Kent State. I've been to Tuscarawas County, so three or four vivations isn't too many. But anyway, I come back to the hotel around midnight. You go up the steps and take a right. Left door on the right is the suicider room. I think there's some ghost shows have explored the room on YouTube. But anyway, like I have to walk by the suicider room to go to the ice machine. I'm walking down the hall. I look to the left. There's a guy, like 1980s clothes, fedora. He's kind of hairy. He got a mustache, cabana shirt, sandals, cargo pants. And he has a boombox, and he's listening to the boombox. And I stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, you don't want to hear a ghost story, do you? And the guy shook his head no, and I said, good call. And I walked down to the ice machine. I get the ice. I come back 20 or 30 seconds later, but the guy is gone. I don't really think of it that night. The next morning when I wake up looking for the star, I think maybe that was a full-body apparition. I don't know. He looked real to me. I guess if that's the only ghost I ever see in my life, I was cool. So I enjoy your show. I like the format. Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, C-Rob. And a big thanks to your student for encouraging you to share your tale. And did I hear a shout out for Tuscarawas County? You're giving me back home vibes. Now, speaking of back home, in the 1980s and 90s, Jacksonville, Florida was a second home to me. My grandparents and a few aunts and uncles lived there. In fact, my grandfather was a security guard at the Sea Turtle Inn in Jacks Beach, which was only about 2.5 miles up the beach from the Casa Marina Hotel. So they were practically neighbors. Now, my grandpa was not one to shy away from telling a ghost story or two, but I don't remember him telling me anything about the hauntings at that hotel, assuming they took place. He did, however, tell me once that he saw a long-necked sea monster rise from the foamy depths while he was smoking a cigarette out on the balcony. Of course, I made him tell me that story at least a dozen times growing up. Now, you might be wondering how or why so many of these places end up haunted. Well, we can start with my theory. Places with lots of human activity tend to be haunted, especially where people gather and emit emotion. Jails, libraries, churches, schools, hospitals. And I think hotels and motels could easily fall on that list. But maybe it seems like there's so many haunted hotel rooms because there are simply so many hotel rooms. As of 2023, the U.S. is home to 5.7 million guest rooms in 112,000 hotels. The average length of stay is only about 1.8 days, so there are plenty of people coming and going. Lots of opportunities for just such a thing to happen. And as we continue on here tonight, I think you'll see exactly what I mean. Now, this next entry takes us to one of the more famous haunted hotels out there. Please welcome Eric, out of the state of California.
Hey, Derek. This is Eric Robert calling you from Los Angeles. I was just listening to your episode on season 20 having to do with paranormal experiences related to the color white. And I heard a gentleman speaking about him and his brother always catching glimpses of a woman in white in their house. And then they found the photo album. And lo and behold, a distant relative, or I think a grandmother or great grandmother, that was the lady that they had seen. Well, last night, a friend joined me for a tribute to Whitney Houston, a candlelight concert put on by a string quartet at the historic Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Well, I was talking to my grandmother on the way there, and she said, didn't Whitney Houston die in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Hills Hotel? And yes, well, pick up my friend and we're at the Biltmore, and I told him this place has got to be haunted. Didn't really have too many strange occurrences while we were there, besides the fact that when we were in a restroom before the show got started, someone walked in and we were opposite the bathroom and they walked in between us into the stalls. But I noticed, because we were chatting across the room when we walked out, that none of the stall doors were occupied or closed. And I said, you heard someone walk in, right? And he said, yeah, they walked right behind us. And yet no one else was in there. Now, after the show, I was just looking at some of the photographs from over the decades past, and there is a photograph of a woman in a white dress. And it just really stood out to me. Now, of course, I'm sure this probably seems like, of course, there'd be a photograph of a woman. But considering the story that was told on your show and the frame of time, this was a legendary editor, fashion icon, and she had taken this legendary photo at the Biltmore Hotel in her wedding gown, which actually looks a little bit more stylish than a lot of the wedding gowns we see today, and probably fairly provocative back then. But anyway, it just seemed to be something that correlated so explicitly to what I just heard that day. And this isn't the only time this has happened to me with your show. I remember hearing about the Black Eyed Kids, and me and this friend went to an art gallery on Mount Olympus for an art show. And hours later, you had played a sound over the show that apparently calls, beckons the black eyed people or kids. And one of these paintings shows these people with their eyes blacked out, just so similar to how the black eyed kids are often depicted. So I emailed you that, and I will email you this photo and the little video I took of that photo in the Biltmore. Maybe you can catch a glimpse of her apparition in the reflection. Keep it spooky. I absolutely love this show. Thanks so much for putting our calls out there. Bye.
Thank you, Eric. There are a few Biltmore hotels scattered about the country, and I believe they're all purportedly haunted, for whatever that's worth. Now, LA is full of haunted hotels, you have Hotel Normandy, the Roosevelt in Hollywood, the infamous Cecil Hotel, and of course the Chateau Marmont. So do what Eric here did. Keep your eyes and mind open as you visit these glamorous locales. And when you do have an experience, remember who you're gonna call. Thanks again, Eric, for the tale. All right, folks, on to Oklahoma for this next one. Please welcome Jason to the show.
Hey, Derek, this is Jason. I'm from Oklahoma right now. I want to share a story with you. My wife and I were wanting to go out for our anniversary, rent a hotel room in downtown Oklahoma City. And we had heard the story of the haunted hotel downtown Oklahoma City. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the place, so I won't. But a simple search on the internet would be able to find it. There's even a story of when the Chicago Bulls came to play the Thunder. They claim that they played pretty crappy one night because they were up all night because the hotel was haunted. But anyway, we went there and got a hotel room. And the story at the hotel is, I guess, like a maid or somebody was fooling around with the owner back in the day, and he got her pregnant. And I think there's some conflicting reports, but he had her killed, or she died, or committed suicide, or something. Anyway, she passed away. So I guess when you're there, she seduces men or really messes with the men. So my wife and I are there and getting ready to go out for a nice dinner and then come back to the room. She's in the shower, getting ready in the bathroom, and I'm getting dressed by the bed. And next thing I know, I smell this perfume smell, and my wife doesn't wear perfume, and I wasn't wearing any cologne that night, but it was very, very flowery. You could smell it. And I couldn't escape it. I would walk around the bed, try to get away from it. It was really, really weird. And it came out of nowhere. It was so strong, I had to get my wife and ask her to come and make sure I wasn't crazy. Sure enough, she could smell it too. And it was kind of spooky because the smell came out of nowhere. Thank you very much, Derek, and I really appreciate it. And love your show. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Jason. Now, Jason didn't want to out the hotel, but I will. We believe he is talking about the Skirvin Hilton in Oklahoma City, a 115-year-old hotel right in the heart of downtown. A hotel with a penchant for the paranormal. And from the sounds of things, the resident ghost is a thing for the menfolk. If you're into that sort of thing. Wild stuff, Jason. And we thank you again for calling in. All right, folks, it's time for another brief break. But when I return, a shadow woman makes a visit. Don't touch that dial.
You're married, but you're on the other side.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Now, as promised, a shadow woman. Please welcome Ash out of Utah.
Hi, Derek and Monsters Among Us listeners. This is Ash from Southern Utah. My experience takes place in Las Vegas, which is just 2 hours away from where I live. So my husband and I go to Vegas often. On this particular trip, we went to the airport to pick up a friend who was staying with us for a bit. We decided to stay on Fremont Street, which is our favorite place to go. We like to find little local bars and things that the tourists don't know about. So we headed to a couple of those bars. We did a little gambling at the Sigma Derby. If you don't know what that is, you should definitely check it out if you visit Vegas. It's so much fun. But we had a great night of gambling and drinking. We grabbed some cheese fries and then headed back to the room for the night. Nothing in the night would have made me think I would have had this experience. But we get settled in our beds and get ready to go to sleep. Our friend is in the bed closest to the hotel room door. And then my husband and I are in the further bed. I'm sleeping on the side of the bed that's next to the bedside table towards the aisle in between the beds. Everyone's asleep. And I'm sure I was dreaming. But the room is super vivid. Like, it looks exactly like the room does in real life. And I see the door crack open and then quickly slam shut. And before it fully slams shut, I see this dark, shadowy creature, like, wisp in. And then it stands in front of my friend's bed. This creature was terrifying. It is the scariest thing I've ever seen, whether it was real or just a dream. I've heard you guys describe blacker than black. Like, that's how I would describe it. I definitely got this feeling it was feminine. Like, I had this very strong feeling that it was a feminine energy and by no means a good energy. It was terrifying. Like, just evil felt like it oozed off of it. But it had a black hood and no hands or feet. It just kind of floated and had this fabric that fell over it. And it seemed to have this black mist kind of emanating off of it and out from under the cloak or whatever it was covered in. So I am terrified. I am laying in my bed thinking, like, my friend is asleep. My husband's asleep. I'm the only one that knows this thing's here. And I panic because my friend is helpless. She's just laying there. So I shout at it. I say, "Stop, no." And as soon as I do, it turns and looks at me and starts to walk over towards my bed. And it gets, like, right to basically in front of me. And I freak out and convince myself to wake up because I don't know. I cannot experience whatever's next. And I wake myself up and I get this horrible feeling that this creature, entity, whatever it is still there. I can just no longer see it. So I turn on the TV. I am just panicking. This is the scariest thing I've ever experienced. And I don't want to wake anybody up. So I stay awake for, I don't know, at least 2 hours, three maybe, until I can finally fall asleep again. And no one says anything that night. But the next morning, my friend says, "So do you get night terrors often?" And I laugh and I say, "Why?" And she said, "Because you yelled in your sleep." So apparently when I yelled at this thing and said, "No, stop," I yelled out loud. So I don't know. The whole next morning, I tried to do research of, like, the hotel and if there was anything, shadow people, anything weird that happened. And I can't remember the exact hotel we stayed in now. It was either the Plaza or El Cortez. So yeah, if there is any research you guys can do to tell me stories or anything you find out about either of those hotels with spooky things happening, I would love to know. I will say, I feel like you're going to say it's sleep paralysis, which it could be. I was drinking. I do sleep on my back when I sleep. So yeah, let me know what you think. Love the show. You guys are great. Stay spooky, everyone.
Thank you, Ash. You know, it's my opinion that you should hope that it's sleep paralysis. Because if it wasn't, we're talking about a very terrifying experience. Now, given that this took place in Vegas, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that anything could have happened in that hotel room. Even murder. And perhaps it's a tragic death like that that's caused whatever this thing was to stick around. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know. Now you might be wondering how you can determine if someone has died in your hotel room. Well, luckily we have a list of signs that we can run through, courtesy of Thrillist. But first, a quick rundown of the procedure when a death does occur in one of these temporary living spaces. First off, throw away anything with a permeable surface. Sheets, blankets, mattresses, wooden tables, lampshades, or anything else that would get wet if you threw water at it. Most electronics also get tossed, since small amounts of blood and other matter can get into the device's crevices, making them nothing you'd want to plug in and turn on. Carpet also gets ripped out, as does any permeable linoleum or other flooring. Headboards, artwork, also gone. Pretty much all that's left are the bathroom fixtures, the walls, the ceilings, and maybe some metal furniture. Now, as for the signs that someone died in that room, you might find an odd bump in the wall. Feel for an uneven surface where the wall was filled in and not sanded down properly. If it's smaller than a quarter, it's probably a bullet hole. The second thing to look for is if the room is only partially renovated. If you see half a room with what appears to be fresh wallpaper, and another half with stuff that looks a little faded, chances are something happened there that required only part of the room to be renovated. The third thing to look out for is that the AC unit smells awful. A wall AC unit is the most commonly missed item by crime scene cleaners, and often has human remains stuck in the vents after a death. Blood and other material seeps through the vents and into the wiring, and the air blowing out will smell like decomposing flesh. And the fourth and final thing to look out for are flies in the light fixtures. People who perish in hotels may be in a room for a few days after they die, especially if they prepaid. Flies begin to infest the room and crawl up into the light fixtures, either getting stuck there or leaving waste behind. You know, on second thought, maybe we should all just stay home. Absolutely gruesome. And we thank you again, Ash, for getting us on this topic. Well, now, this is an awkward segue, but the Dogman Days of Summer sale is quickly coming to an end. I'd say you probably have about 2 weeks left to take advantage of these red-hot savings on shirts, bags, totes, pins, patches, stickers, and a whole lot more. Just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click on that shop tab. Spooky season is right around the corner, so treat yourself. Now, our next haunted hotel experience takes us back to Bama. Kayla, the airwaves are all yours.
Hi, this is Kayla from Dothan, Alabama. I'm calling to share a ghost story that happened to myself and my mom. It was in Americus, Georgia, at the Best Western Windsor Hotel. It's right in downtown Americus, and it's beautiful. It's very old, and I have paranormal abilities. I like to classify myself as a medium, I guess. And it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. We had just gotten there, and I was looking for the ice machine. So I found the vending machine, but I also found the third floor service elevator. And when I saw this service elevator door, I was a little bit creeped out. And I crossed the threshold, and I felt free fall. And there's a mother that worked at the hotel. I found out that the mother, who's named Emily, and the daughter, who's named Emma, had passed away by, I think I got getting pushed into the third floor service elevator shaft, but you can look on any South Georgia article site and it will more than likely tell you the true story. I'm probably paraphrasing it. And I figured out that I was feeling what they felt when they fell down the elevator shaft. Another story, I was in a little sitting area outside of our room. On the third floor, we were saying my morning prayers, and I heard footsteps coming down the hall. And I just said out loud, if you would like to join me in saying my prayers, you are more than welcome. I welcome anyone who wants to pray with me, but that's all I'm doing. You have a gorgeous hotel, and the hotel is very gorgeous. It's very old, too. And after that, the footsteps stopped. The last story involved my mom, too, whose name is Ellen. Her and I were in bed sleeping that night. The majority of the hotel was. And it was around 1 to 2 in the morning, the first night we were there. And I almost liken the sound that we all heard, majority of the hotel heard it, to a scream backwards. Like, what? That's almost what I heard. When that happened, I kid you not, I froze. Could not move. I think a guy in the room next to us said, what the hell was that? And my mom said, all right, you two, knock it off. Enough. But we found out from the cleaning lady we ran into the day before when we checked in that it was the fire alarm. And I later figured out from the two spirits, because like I said, I have medium abilities, that was around the time that they were pushed into the elevator shaft. And that was the creepiest thing that I had ever experienced. That was the first time that I'd ever stayed at a haunted hotel. And that's pretty much the end of my stories. Your show is amazing. Keep it spooky, guys.
Thank you, Kayla. Now, there's something that's not brought up on the program as often as it should be. Creepy old elevator shafts. Now, even as an adult, I can't help but imagine the worst every single time I step foot in an elevator. Is this the time that the cable snaps? Is this the time I get stuck in here for days? So thank you again, Kayla, for calling in. And thanks for giving me a brand new phobia.
This is what it is. It's to save face.
And it starts in Colorado on Sunday.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
In the middle of the night, that would make sense to be on the 14th, because it is the 14th.
Now, gang, it's almost checkout time. But first, here's an entry from Morgan, out of the state of Idaho.
Hi, Derek. My name's Morgan. I'm in Boise, Idaho. So I was working many years ago at a place called the Haciampa Hotel in Prescott, Arizona. It was reported to be haunted. Of course, there was a story about a woman who's a newlywed and the newlywed suite who's new husband went out to get some wine and never came back, and she hung herself. I had co-workers who would not go in the honeymoon suite, which was where the haunting was supposed to happen. So one time I was cleaning there and the owner's son came up to change a light bulb or something, and I was cleaning the walk-in closet and I turned around and there was a plastic bag floating above a wire wastebasket. Now, my first reaction was, because I'm fascinated by the paranormal, was to see if I could debunk it. So I watched it for some time, very carefully, and then I put my hand under it and it fell. Now, the owner's son who saw this starts freaking out about the fact that something unusual is happening, and I thought it was kind of weird. It was just a plastic bag, and I realized later, while to me it was just a floating plastic bag, it was his whole reality crumbling. Maybe, although in more recent years, I've wondered if maybe the owners were trying to set up some kind of pseudo-haunting to attract more guests. But I can't figure out for the life of me how they did it. There was no vent, no airflow, or anything around there. And why a plastic bag? I mean, they're not going to make any horror movies about that, right? So anyway, that's my story. Hope it's useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan. You know, I bet there are more than a few of these hotels that exaggerate or even fabricate activity just to boost business. It's really very difficult to suss out the truth, unless, of course, you catch them red-handed. And apparently, even when that happens, the mystery can't always be solved. Just ask our friend Morgan here. Now, I do agree. If you're looking to become popular with the paranormal crowd, you're going to need a lot more than a floating bag. But a big thanks, Morgan, for sharing the strange entry. We appreciate the phone call. Now get your last room service order in, because our stay is almost over. But I have one more call for you here this evening. A real interesting one out of Ohio. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, my name is Jim. I'm 70 years old now, and we're going to go back in time to when I was right about 17. I had left home, was raised in Ohio, and at that point I moved to Indiana. I lived in Indiana with my girlfriend at the time. I later married her, so I'll refer to her as the wife. And a few months into us living out there, we decided we're going to go visit my mom and dad back in Ohio. At the time, I drove a little Corvair. Now, that may take you back in time, but we're talking middle of winter. Corvair had no heat, and the heat that it did put out was nothing. Wife and I visited, and we started heading back home. We got on the west side of Columbus, Ohio, on 70, and something happened to my engine on that little Corvair. It started smoking. I pulled into a little gas station, and across was a restaurant. I went into the gas station, and I looked down and I told the wife, I said, this is what we've got. I said, I've got enough money for gas and maybe some oil to get home, or I've got enough money for food so we can eat, but we don't have enough gas or money to get back home. So we're sitting there contemplating what we're going to do. It's cold outside. It's winter. A man knocked on the window of my Corvair. I opened the window. There was a guy standing there. He had on like a fedora hat, and he had glasses on, and he said, you're having troubles. I said, yeah. He said, here, this will get you where you need to go. And he handed me a $20 bill. I said, thank you. He started walking away. I closed the window. I turned to my wife, and I said, did you see that guy? She's like, what guy? I said, the one I was just talking to. She said, you weren't talking to anybody. I said, he was just here. I opened my door. I got out. He was gone. There were no footprints in any snow. There were no man walking down the road. There were no cars driving away from me. The man was just gone. Well, I went across to the restaurant. We ate, went back to the gas station, got a tank of gas and a bunch of bulk oil, which is like barely above used oil. I made it back to Indianapolis with a half a tank of fuel. Our stomachs were still full. We weren't hungry, and I had a quart of oil left. Now, to me, it was freaky. The guy just popped in, said, this will get you where you're going. We got where we were going, and we did perfect. Okay, that's the one story. Now, let's jump a few years forward again. And my then wife and I were having problems, and we decided we're going to split up. This is some 17, 18 years later. So, of course, I left the house, and I went to a motel, a local motel, and I decided I was going to check in and not check out. Well, I went into the office. This is like 2 a.m, and the lady was sitting there. I said, I'd like to get a room. She just looked at me and she said, no, honey, you don't need a room. I said, well, yeah, I do. She said, no, you need to talk. And I don't know why. I just unloaded on this poor lady. Every little whim that I had, every issue that was in my life, I mean, I just unloaded everything on her. And she sat there and listened and had some good comments on everything. Well, long story short, I didn't get a room and I didn't need to check in so I could check out. The next day, I decided I've got to go thank this lady. So I went back to the same little motel. The guy that was behind the desk, I asked him, what was the name of the lady that worked last night? And he looked at me and he said, there was no lady working last night. I said, I was in here and I spoke to her. He said, no, no lady works here at the desk. It was him. And I said, no, this was a woman. He said, no, nobody like that works here. So I spoke to somebody that wasn't there. I unloaded with my whole grief that was inside of me. I felt relieved when I left. And I don't know why or how that happened. Now, one more issue, we're going to go forward again, where I'm 50 years old. My new wife and I are going to go west from Indiana. We're going to go see Mount Rushmore and go to Sturgis. We pack up the motorcycle and we take off. We decided we're going to take no interstates. It's all going to be country roads so we can see everything. We start driving and I don't even know what state we were in, but I think it was Nebraska. It was a very straight, flat, boring ride. And we're probably 2 hours since we had checked out of a motel, but we were riding on the motorcycle. I started getting sleepy. My wife nudges me, and she said she was sleepy. She said, I can't keep my eyes open. I said, I can't either. And I said, we're going to have to stop. I thought I went through some bad air or got into a gas main or something that was affecting us being awake. So I pulled off at the first place I found, like a country store, got off the motorcycle. Both of us walked over. There was a real nice grass-lined ditch. We both sat on the ditch. We lit a cigarette apiece, and we fell asleep. We didn't smoke the cigarettes. We just kind of like set them down, and we fell asleep. I think we slept maybe 2 minutes apiece. When we woke up, our cigarettes were still burning. This is the days when they didn't go out automatically. And I looked at her. I said, I feel better. I said, that was weird. She goes, that was real weird. So we kind of talked for a minute to how goofy that made us feel. And as we're talking, we hear this boom, sound like a shotgun going off. The rear tire of my motorcycle blew out. Had we been riding on the motorcycle, I know I'd have lost control of it. So something made us get off the road and made us so tired we couldn't continue. Now, another weird part to this is after we come to our senses and the tire blew, I started looking around as what we're going to do. Right next to that little convenience store was a gas station. I told the guy what happened. He sold me some tire plugs. I put 4 plugs in the side of that tire, and he kept telling me it won't hold, it won't hold. And it lasted from somewhere in Nebraska across all these country roads until we got into Rapid City, South Dakota, and it got us to a motorcycle shop, and we had a new tire put on. Now, just those were the few things that happened to me in my life. There's strange things out there, and there's hands that guide you, I believe. That's all I've got. I thank you for your time and appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim, for calling. You certainly seem to have someone looking out for you. And it sounds like they might always be watching. They might always be willing to intervene. So a guardian angel, an intervention from another realm, another dimension, or another timeline, or just good old-fashioned luck. Whatever it is, Jim, I sure hope you're paying it forward. You could be the mystery stranger in another's life. So keep your eyes open for those opportunities, and be sure to let us know if you have another similar experience. Thanks again, Jim, for sharing the call. And folks, that's going to wrap things up here for tonight. A big thanks to everyone that called in, and a bigger thanks to you, listener, for tuning in. The Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Grow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Now be sure to like us on social media, on YouTube, join us on Discord, and leave us a rate and review wherever you can do such a thing. Now don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Unexplained Network. Just visit unexnetwork.com to tune in. And don't forget to check out the audiobook that I narrated. It's called I Saw It Out There, Terrifying True Stories of Unexplained Encounters, Cryptid Sightings, and Paranormal Horrors in the Wilderness by Tom Lyons. You can find it on Audible, and there's a link up in tonight's show notes. Now tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Coda AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget to watch our film, Shadows in the Desert. Go to BoregoTriangle.com to tune in. Don't forget to check out Monsters Among Us Jr. You can find episodes wherever you get your podcast. And finally, don't forget to join us in the Beyond. $5 a month gives you access to days worth of additional content. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Alright, gang. I'll catch you all back here on Thursday for the next thrilling installment. But until then, you keep it spooky and have yourselves a great night.
On my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.